Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Are you free for dinner tonight?
So you think she's cheating on you?
The only thing I am guilty of is loving you.
You shouldn't be doing that. In case you've forgotten, I'm married.
Honey, I have some bad news.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, it's no secret that we live in a time when marriages are extremely vulnerable, and marital problems related to infidelity and pornography are running rampant in our culture like no other time in history. Well, author Jerry Jenkins is known to many as the co-author of the Left Behind series, the best-selling Christian fiction collection ever. Well, he also, over the years, has been a real advocate in encouraging married couples to plant hedges of protection around your marriage. And during the next half hour, I'll continue my conversation with Jerry Jenkins as we once again discuss loving your marriage enough to protect it. If your marriage could use a little help in this area, or if things are going well and you want to continue to grow stronger in your marriage, keep it right here on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. APU's Cougars now holding 7 consecutive Director's Cups, 36 national titles in NAIA Division I, and 108 GSAC championships. Outstanding athletic competition at Azusa Pacific University. If your son or daughter is interested in pursuing a career athletically, you want to just play Division II NCAA sports, which is where they are now, just go to homeward.com or apu.edu and you can learn more about that. Today here on the program, we're going to talk about taking some proactive measures, being a little bit athletic, and defending your marriage. Jerry Jenkins is with us for part two of a conversation on loving your marriage enough to protect it. And now, let's get into it with Dr. Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, again, we're talking about loving your marriage enough to protect it. Jerry Jenkins has written a great book. It's called Hedges, and it's a book that's going to help you really keep away from that disastrous experience of an affair. And anybody who has had an affair or has been a part of an affair, you are saying amen to this if you got to hear us the last time. Jerry, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jim.
You know, you were co-author of the Left Behind series. It made you, in some ways, an international celebrity. Larry King Live, covers of magazines like Time and Newsweek. Has that changed your life at all?
It's tried to, and we try everything we can to not let it change our lives. After the first million or two sales, you can start feeling pretty good about yourself. When it becomes tens of millions, you go, you know, it'd really be folly to take any human credit for this. I mean, I'm not doing anything differently than I've ever done. I mean, writing is my only thing. I don't sing or dance or preach. This is it. And God chose to make a phenomenon out of one of them. That's his business.
Yeah. Well, that's neat. And I appreciate it. And one of the reasons why you're on this program is because I respect you so much for being that kind of a person. But we're talking about hedges. And we all have needs and issues within our marriages. But it seems that what you say in your book, Hedges, is that we kind of have different styles and we have to kind of create hedges around our own personality. How do you do that?
Well, the interesting point is that, you know, my hedges won't necessarily be your hedges, and yours won't be mine. And there are some men who need 20 hedges, some need only 2. There are issues, and when you talk about, you know, the leader who said one thing he didn't have a problem with was, you know, fidelity in his marriage, it almost gives me pause in saying that, you know, there are some areas I don't have hedges around because I'm not tempted that way. For instance, I'm not tempted to frequent prostitutes. To me, there's nothing more repulsive. But I do know Christian men who that is a temptation for. And they know how degrading it is and how terrible it sounds, but it happens to be a temptation. So their hedge is not to drive to certain areas, not to look at certain things in the newspaper or the phone book, and to have accountability partners. And I will say this, if I all of a sudden did feel that temptation, I would for sure plant a hedge right away. You know, my area, I would probably be more tempted by somebody that I respect and admired at work and just sort of, you know, engaged with. I like their smile, their personality, their, you know, the way they carry themselves. And it would be important to me, and that's why I have this hedge about not meeting or dining or traveling with a woman who's not related to me, unless there's somebody else there. Because if I'm not alone with them, that won't be fueled, and that'll be the end of it. And they can be a friend and a colleague, But I need that protection against that temptation.
And is this the hedge that you call two's company, three's security?
Exactly.
Right. And so what you're saying is, for you personally, you're not going to dine with somebody alone, but you're going to bring somebody else into it,
right.
And then you can have it becomes more of a business meeting.
Exactly. And that always takes the pressure off. You know, if you're alone with somebody for enough time, there just become these little intimate dependencies
sure.
that you have.
Sure. I think we have to be careful with that, with people that we do work with closely. And if someone says, I don't think this is love, but, I'm thinking about what I'm wearing or how I'm, yeah. combing my hair, or I'm thinking about, I wonder what so-and-so will think about my dress, my words, my action, whatever.
Right. Well,
what do you do?
Well, again, I think it's eliminating that alone time and realizing that this is sort of a crush. You can't wait to see that person. You hope they're okay. You want them to come to work and that type of thing. That's the time, especially, to not find reasons to have them drive you to the airport or pick you up or have a meeting alone, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So, and people think you're paranoid. I mean, when somebody calls me and says, we're going to have so-and-so pick you up, from the airport to and it's a woman, I say, I have a policy that it either needs to be two people or just a man. And there's this long silence. And it's embarrassing. And they'll go, what's your issue here, And so I just tell them my policy. And I've thought about that, and I've been asked before, what about the humiliation factor, the embarrassment? I will trade 34 and a half years of marriage for that humiliation any day.
Sure. Sure. Well, I also think about it. I had a background in youth ministry, and my policy was that I would not drive a girl by herself. And one of the reasons was for all the temptation issues, but at the same time, for me, even a bigger one was, what if she said I was alone with Jim and he touched me inappropriately and she made it up? My life, my passion, my ministry is over. So it would be much easier to simply say, you know what, we're going to have to figure out another way to get you home.
Yeah, and when I was a youth sponsor, we would take kids home, and we'd sometimes have to go a mile out of our way to make
right.
sure the girl was the second to last
right.
home and the guy. And, one of the scariest stories in the book, and I'm sure you came across it, but young evangelist, his first citywide crusade, a girl in the prayer room, she was the last one in there with him, and she made a pass at him.
Right.
And he was totally taken aback and said, I don't know what signal I gave, but, don't go here. She was so embarrassed and humiliated, she accused him of making the pass. If she had not confessed that, he never would have been an evangelist to this day.
No, exactly. And so that's why we need these hedges of protection. As you talk about hedges of protection in your marriage, your second hedge that you talked about was physical contact. I remember you saying, I'm careful about touching. While I might shake hands or squeeze an arm or a shoulder or greeting, I really am careful about how I would embrace. Talk about that hedge.
Yeah, and a lot of people think I've drawn too fine a line there, and I worried about it myself because I think the church has come a healthy way since I was a kid. When I was a kid, men shook hands, women, you didn't touch women. That was just it. I shake hands and that's it. And I think there is some healthy part of embracing, and a loving embrace in public with, people. But men know the difference, and so do women, whether it's the length of the embrace
right.
or
sure.
the way you touch them, that type of thing.
Right.
And we don't know what the needs are. What
right.
what if somebody is really needy and hasn't been touched at home for a year?
Right.
And you're embracing and you're enjoying it a little too much. I mean, there's a sort of chemistry there. So I'm just careful about it. I don't want to become paranoid or run scared, right. but I just think it's an issue.
Sure, and when you're talking about hedges, you're talking about hedges that you've created for yourself.
Right.
And yet at the same time, a lot of these hedges are the hedges that we have to be very careful with. And it may, even to the extent like what you just talked about, a loving embrace that's not sexual
right.
to you,
right.
but it might be to the other person
yeah.
because of a need that they had. So this is, again, where we have to be careful.
Exactly, and you just don't know what's going on. And I do know people, in fact, I know some evangelical leaders who are huggers.
Right.
They like
right.
to be that way, and they're
right.
encouraging. I do think that they're careful and do it only in public, and most people probably take it that way.
Yeah, exactly. I remember in graduate school, pastoral counseling, a professor said, talking to some of the men who were going to be pastors, some of the women are going to fall in love with you. You're not going to have any idea of that, but you're coming across in the pulpit warm, loving, kind. You're giving them a hug. Just know that that's dangerous. It doesn't. And he said vice versa in terms of the opposite sex relationships. It just sort of happens sometimes. So you have to have hedges around you because they may not.
Yeah, that's, I think, one of the things that I challenge pastors on is that if they're going to counsel women in bad marriages, they have to have their secretary in the room or their wife, preferably their wife, and the door open. Because all of a sudden the pastor becomes everything the husband is not. If he's neglectful, if he's spiteful, if he's angry, if he's an alcoholic, if he's not spiritual, the pastor's the opposite. Not only is he all those things, but he's attractive and he's in public and everybody knows him. And it can happen just like that. He's the answer to their dream.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about more hedges that Jerry Jenkins has for himself, but also hedges that we need to create around ourselves. This is a book for men, but you know what, women? You also have to create hedges around your life, too, and some of these are the same exact hedges. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward. Jerry Jenkins is with us talking about loving your marriage enough to protect it. Great book, Hedges.
Often wonder sometimes when you talk to a couple that's in crisis, what types of hedges the couple put up. I mean, not hedges in between each other, but hedges around the marriage. It's a great word picture. And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, you're listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns on location, as he was at the Opryland Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee, at the American Association of Christian Counselors Conference, having a conversation with author Jerry Jenkins about his book, Hedges, and loving your marriage enough to protect it. If you're looking for resources that can help you and your spouse do a better job of protecting your marriage, kind of creating that garden wall around it, we encourage you to go to homeward.com, hit the articles and media section, and you can take a look at what articles and tip sheets we have available for you there. Also, sign up for our free daily online devotional. It's a great way to start your day with a nugget of encouragement from God's Word, a little Bible verse. For more information on that, go to homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Hey, Mom, can you take me to the mall?
Not tonight.
But why not?
Because this is our date night.
But Daddy, I thought you were going to help me with my chemistry project.
I will, Tina, just not tonight.
But Mommy, please, couldn't you just drop me off on your way out and pick me up on your way back?
Oh, Heather, I love you.
I love you too, Mommy.
But no.
Mom?
I'm Jim Burns, and if you're not taking time for yourselves, you're running the risk of teaching your kids that mom and dad live to serve them. And quite frankly, no child wants or needs that. As busy as you are, it's important to have activities and events in your life that aren't centered on your job or your kids. In fact, many marriage experts agree that making mom and dad time a priority would be the best thing you can do for your children. Find out why when you read our tip sheet called Why Dating Your Spouse is Good for the Whole Family. You can download a free copy when you go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, again, we're talking about loving your marriage enough to protect it by building hedges around your marriage. And Jerry Jenkins is with us. Jerry Jenkins, as you know, is the co-author of the Left Behind series, best-selling Christian fiction series ever. A biographer of great professional athletes, Walter Payton, Earl Hershiser, and others, has been involved in writing with Billy Graham. The names continue. 150 books of fiction or nonfiction that Jerry Jenkins has been a part of. He has influenced this generation in many ways. And I appreciate this book so much, Jerry. Hedges. Hedge number three has to do with compliments. Now, talk about that.
Yeah, talk about putting a fine line on things. People say, boy, you even have to be careful about what you say. We all want to be complimentary and say nice things to people. And I, too, thought I was just, you know, drawing too fine a line on this until I started getting response from women. And I say, you know, it's better to comment on something slightly impersonal than to say you look hot or you look great today or wow, you know, but to say the color looks nice on you or that's a nice outfit or whatever. And I got letters from women saying, I know exactly what you're saying. I can tell the difference. And I know when somebody is making a, you know, having a come on rather than just trying to be nice. And for me, again, it's maybe nobody else needs this hedge but me. But I have to be careful in what I say because I'm looking for that response, and so I keep it slightly impersonal.
It is a hedge for a lot of people. I had an experience right out of graduate school. I was working at a church as a youth pastor, and my first, back then we called him a secretary, you know, administrative assistant, she'd come from the secular world, wonderful Christian. I knew her husband very well, and she was not just my administrative assistant, but she was others. And she said after about a month, she said, you know, it's weird being in this church because nobody compliments me in terms of sexual suggestions, and I'd been at a place where they'd done. She says, I feel bad about myself. And she wasn't saying, please, you know, do this, but she was just simply saying, it's so much a part of the world. She's so used to that, that now she's in a place that was a safe environment, and she was saying, God, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, exactly.
So the fact is that people are used to going so much farther. We've got to build hedges that make us sound, you know, hyper-conservative. Who cares? Like you say, you've been married for over 34 years.
Yeah.
It's not about anything but preserving that relationship and making it stronger.
And of course, in this day and age, if you're not careful, you can be charged with sexual harassment just by saying the wrong thing, too.
Exactly. Yeah. And we who are in ministry hear that all the time. Another hedge is suggestive conversation. You know, you see this where sometimes people will do that, and this is one of the hedges that you chose. Talk about that.
It's really back to the old flirtation question.
Yeah.
And it's fun to be funny and to make suggestive comments, but they really should be reserved for your spouse. And that, to me, it's a golden rule. I don't want to say something to another woman that I wouldn't want a man saying to my wife, or my wife saying to a man. Some things need to be reserved and protected as if it's part of the marriage bed.
Right. Now you have a story in Hedges where you said to somebody they were wearing beautiful colors, and you said, "You look delicious," and then immediately you kind of went, "Uh-oh."
Yeah.
What do you do in a situation when you say something you didn't mean it in a sexual manner, but all of a sudden you think, "Oh my goodness, I've stepped overboard."
Well, the worst thing about that one was I didn't even realize it as I said it, but she said it, to the next guy. We were going to go out for dinner, and there was a guy with us, and so it was all above board, and we're all the same age and everything. But I saw her first. She met at the spot, and I said, she was wearing purple or something like that, and I thought of grapes, and I said, "Well, you look delicious," and she laughed. And when he came up, she said, "He thinks I look delicious," and I saw this look from the guy like, what? And I went, so I did talk to him later, and he forgave me, but I think you just deal with it.
Yeah, but before that, exactly, I think that too, because we are going to say things. It's an interesting society today. We deal with issues that are so complicated and complex. Even some of the issues that, they had in the Bible, I'm sure there was problems with flirting and whatnot, but in different ways. They weren't living the kind of life we live, and so we do have to be careful. And so when it happens, you just say, okay, well, I blew it.
Yeah.
Hedges are for a reason. You step over the hedge, you still may not be doing something bad, but you have that hedge to protect you so you don't go to that next spot.
Exactly.
I appreciate that. Another hedge that you talk about is that, and I appreciate this so much. In fact, I'm learning this. This was a good thing for me to be reminded to talk to my wife about, is to remind my wife often that I remember my wedding vows.
Yeah.
Well, how do you do that?
There's no shortcut to it. There are times when I come in at the end of the work day and we're embracing, and I'll just tell her, "I'm still keeping you only unto myself for as long as we both shall live." I mean, that's what I said January of 1971, and I still mean it, and I'm still doing it. And she doesn't demand that. She doesn't say, if I haven't said it for a few weeks, does that mean you haven't, But it's just something she likes to hear.
What's her response?
She'll say, "Me too."
Nate.
And thanks.
Yeah, and it's something, you can't say enough. It's liturgy. Certain liturgy is wonderful in the church. We say it, or a certain song. I love the same song. I hope a famous music person will sing their best song. Well, it's the same with that, I think, in terms of our relationship. It's something that we can never say enough of in many ways. Just like saying, "I love you."
And it's funny, too, that sometimes spouses will tease each other and say something like, "You could have any woman you wanted," or "When you go on this trip, there'll be, you have to beat the women off with a stick," or something like that. And your first thought of response is, "Yeah, I got all these women on the side." I think that it's important, because even though they're teasing, and they probably wouldn't think anything if you did say that, I always nip that. If Diana says something like that, I always turn serious and I say, "I can't even imagine. I can't imagine I would ever even be interested in anybody else. Never have been, never will be." Yeah. And I think she likes it.
Well, what you're giving Diana is you're giving her security.
Yeah.
And one of the things she needs is security. She doesn't need the security of multi-millions of dollars. She married you without money.
That's right.
But by having hedges around your marriage and by saying things like that, you're giving them the security that you're not going to be out there looking for somebody else.
Yeah.
That's very, very good. Another hedge, and I appreciated this, is spend lots of quality and quantity time with your spouse and with your children. It seems so basic, but how is that a hedge against marital infidelity?
Yeah, that's the first question people ask is, does this really fit? And first of all, I think this old idea, and it swept through the church maybe 10, 15 years ago, if you don't have much time to spend with your family, make sure what you do spend is quality time. What a lie from the pit.
Kids
know the difference between quality and quantity time.
Right.
We tell them they're the top priority, and then we come home and we get behind the paper, we watch TV, or we're in our den, or we're doing something else. We set a policy before kids came along that I wouldn't do any work from the office or any writing from the time I got home from work until the time the kids went to bed. Of course, sometimes they put them in bed at 4:30, but but I maintained that policy religiously for years, and I was there when they received Christ, every one of them. I was there when they said all those precious things, and we weren't discussing the meaning of the cosmos. Sometimes they were just climbing me, we were playing games, and when my kids got to the age where they know everything and Dad knows nothing, they could question my judgment, and half the time they were probably right. You can't be right all the time, but they never questioned my motive. because we invested that time. And what would my motive be if I'm spending all my time with the kids? And I found when you're spending that much time with your family, when you're out on the road and there's a temptation, you're thinking, I'm not going to screw this up by some night of pleasure. One of my friends added a hedge later to the book. He said he was on an airplane and he sat next to a really attractive woman, and she was, you know, chatting him up like, who are you and where are you from? And he said, you know, your thought is, wow, she clearly is attracted to me and she's really hot and everything. And he said he just instinctively reached for his wallet and said, here's who I am and here's what I'm about. Showed pictures of his wife and his kids. And he said he could almost hear his daughters off those pictures saying, thanks, Dad, you know. Because he said, you know, if we had talked, who knows, I might have gone out for a drink or for a meal, and who knows. But he said, and of course she immediately was, oh, isn't that sweet that you love your family so much? And it changed the whole tone of the conversation. That's a great hedge.
That is a great hedge. That is a great message. Today has been a great message. I think you've helped some people who maybe were beginning to step over some hedges. And maybe it's a conversation that they can have with their spouse or with an accountability partner. If they have nobody, then if they're at a church, go to a pastor and have that conversation. Talk with a friend at work. But it is so key. And if this conversation can help a couple of people from going over the hedge and experiencing disaster and blowing up that family that you were just talking about, there are pictures in your wallet, and that's the reason, one of the many reasons that we build hedges. So thank you, Jerry Jenkins, for being with us. I really appreciate your comments.
Thank you, Jim.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author and speaker Jerry Jenkins here on the Homeward Broadcast. Loving your marriage enough to protect it. If you missed any part of this program, by the way, you can go to homeward.com if you're not there already. We are always streaming audio. We archive the audio there too, and the audio archives are absolutely free. So if you want to take advantage of that opportunity, just go to homeward.com and you can listen to this program again in its entirety. And Jim, I know that there are a lot of couples who tune in. Maybe he listens at one point and she listens at another point. They don't always listen together. But this is great and powerful information for us in terms of what we do proactively to go after this and protect our marriages.
I'm afraid that way too many marriages are not creating hedges. In fact, they're going just the opposite. One recent study indicated that 44% of men and 25% of women have extramarital affairs. Well, affairs are devastating, and it's one of the toughest things for a couple to deal with, obviously. You know, when the scripture says, do not commit adultery, the Lord didn't do that in the Ten Commandments just because he's the great killjoy when it comes to sex. He did that because it rips apart marriages, it rips apart families, and I've seen this so many times in my own life. As I said, affairs are devastating, and it's, again, one of the toughest things for a couple to deal with. Affairs can even happen, I think, in good marriages, and so it's essential that couples learn how to affair-proof their relationships. Here's a couple of final suggestions that I want to leave with you today on how to do this. And the first one is stay connected, and this takes work. It has to be proactive. Couples that disconnect emotionally are most vulnerable to affairs. And the main reason couples disconnect is because of the conflict that comes from talking about sensitive issues like sex, money, kids, time, and even in-laws. You know, instead of avoiding these topics, learning to talk about them in a way in which both really feel heard and understood. I know that there are times in my 31 years of marriage with Kathy where I begin to feel that we're getting emotionally disconnected. And some of the times it's because I don't want to face a tough conversation. And so what I'm saying is stay connected, or you're going to emotionally disconnect, and that brings trouble. Then secondly is create hedges. As we've already established, you can love someone and yet, as Jerry was talking about, be attracted to someone else. So even in the good marriages, this happens. But again, we've got to create those hedges. We've got to avoid situations that provide opportunities for affairs. I know in my own life, there are certain things that I choose not to do. For example, I don't go out to lunch with a member of the opposite sex. That doesn't mean that if I did that, you know, something horrible was going to happen. I've just set that line. I've drawn the line. So if I go past that line, then I'm, for me, going past a hedge. Kathy feels secure in that. Kathy and I talk about it. It's very important for me to build that hedge of protection. That means create a hedge by call a friend, take a walk, contact a counselor. For me, it's an accountability group where we'll talk about very open issues at times, and that's a hedge of protection. And I think we've got to make those kinds of decisions so that our marriages can thrive.
Yeah, it has to be intentional. We need to, I just heard you say, Jim, make decisions. It's not a feeling. It's not feelings based. It's something that we are intentional about. And I know that this is all over your works in the writings you and Kathy have put together on marriage, your book, Creating an Intimate Marriage, and also the book that you and Kathy wrote together called Closer. And if you are a married couple that wants to do something devotionally, but you just don't feel like you've got the time or you don't really have the desire, Jim and Kathy's book called Closer is an outstanding resource for couples who don't like to do devotions on a daily basis. Once a week is fine. You can use the Idea Starters in Closer. You can order a copy of the book directly from our online resource center. And when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting the Ministry of Homeward as well. So go to homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com. Or if you'd like more information over the phone, just call Deb at 800-397-9725. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.